You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You were a scout for Washington at one point, weren't you?
Yeah, way back when. Yeah, I scouted on the West Coast for 1 year when for Coach Schottenheimer and John Schneider were there, and they got shown the door after 1 year. I always say that Marty Schottenheimer should have won Coach of the Year that year, going 8-8 with the roster that we had, and instead he gets the pink slip. Chris Samuels and I have talked about that for a long time. Like what that team could have been had they just let Coach Schottenheimer take that thing and go and build it, and John Schneider. But that was my 1 year in Washington.
Jim, I've been doing this here in D.C. for almost 20 years now. I consider it to be the single biggest football mistake that Snyder made running Marty after that year. 0-5, won 8 of the final 11 with Tony Banks and Kent Graham at quarterback. And you could just see how it was completely turning around, and that, you know, division titles and playoff games and a lot of winning was forthcoming.
Yeah, we were 0-5. I think we were the first team in NFL history to start 0-5 and then flip it to go 5-5. So I still have that cover of that Sports Illustrated with Chris Samuels, you know, leading the way for Stephen Davis,
Philly.
But on that SI cover. But it was an interesting experience. And then, you know, those Marty and John got let go right after the season, and then I stayed on with the next regime that got brought in for the draft, and then. Then I went to New England, so
yeah.
it ended up good for me, and I ended up in New England with Adam Peters for 7 or 8 years. So it was actually a blessing.
Well, look, when I said it's the number one mistake during the Snyder era football wise, there's a long list of them, but that was really
no
the first big one. And it's too bad because I always felt, and still to this day, and when we get into these coaching discussions of coaches that aren't in the Hall of Fame, I think Marty should be in the Hall of Fame personally.
No question. No, I think he's got over 200 career wins. That should get him in Canton.
All right. So, let's talk some draft. And before we get specific with the Commanders draft, what do you think people like us should be focused on after a draft? We know as football fans, the hit rate is, you know, much less than 50%, and it's deemed to be successful. There's a lot of who the hell knows at this point. What should we be focused on when it comes to sort of evaluating our team's draft?
Well, it's a new regime. You know, and I've worked with AP for a long time, and I was in Seattle with Dan Quinn. Those are two really good guys in two critical spots. So all you can do right now as fans is trust that they're going to develop these players. I feel like they had a really good draft. I mean, we've evaluated all these guys for the Senior Bowl, and we had a number of them in the game. You just got to trust that the staff's going to get the best out of them. But they did draft a lot of good football players.
I mean, that's a big part of it, right, is where these players get drafted and who's there to actually coach them and develop them.
Right, and that's been a problem in Washington over the years is all the volatility. You know, you're drafting players. A couple years later, a new regime comes in, and they don't really fit what they do schematically, or they, you know, they're not, quote-unquote, their guys, so then the team moves on from them. Like, that's the great thing about continuity and stability is that you can really – you know, dive into the development of players, and that's the key. You know, you can't just draft these guys and roll them out there. You got to develop them And I know Dan'll do a great job. He's a great teacher.
All right, tell us specifically of the players, the nine that were drafted, who did you really like? Who did they really nail it on, in your opinion?
Let's start with
the quarterback, because that was the headliner, Jaden Daniels.
I've said this. I think that, I'm putting myself in Dan Quinn's shoes right now, and I'm trying to think of those guys up there, who wouldn't I want to defend? You know, who would keep me up at night as a defensive coordinator? And to me, out of all those guys, and I think the six guys that went in the top 12, there was justification for all those guys going early. There's a lot to like about all those guys. But in terms of, like, who would give me nightmares about trying to defend the dual threat aspect, it would be Jaden. I was on record last summer saying that I thought Jaden was the most improved quarterback in the class, his junior year. A lot was made of the progress he made this year. I thought he made his biggest jump 2 years ago, and he did continue to get better this year. So I love the pick. He's going to be a really tough guy to defend in that NFC East.
How did you see the quarterbacks before Thursday night in terms of an order?
I like to stay away from that stuff. I really do, because we had Nix and Penix in the game. But again, I thought they were all good. But I liked a lot about them. Even J.J. McCarthy was a guy that we got on late, and a lot of people were kind of railing against, pushing back against, some of the late J.J. McCarthy love that was out there. I went to Michigan, so this isn't a Michigan homer take either. I did a lot of work on J.J. after he decided to come out, and man, there's a lot to like about that kid too. I mean, he plays really good situational football. He can throw it on the move, really good athlete. Jim Harbaugh made the point that he plays the quarterback position better than anyone in the draft. And he does. It's a bottom line statement, but I think football people know what it means. Like, he knows how to play. JJ knows how to play quarterback. And yeah, he didn't, they didn't put a lot on him at Michigan. He didn't have to carry the team. And that's what everybody that was knocking J.J. McCarthy, like, that was the only thing they could lean into. But to me, that's almost harder to play quarterback sometimes, to do it the way he had to do it, when the ball wasn't in your hands every play, and you weren't throwing the ball 40 times a game, and you'd go run, run, pass, and you're in third and long, and you got to make a throw, and he could make a throw. So, we'll see. I mean, history tells us they're all not going to pan out, and that's usually not on the player. That's as much on the franchise as anything. I think we all saw what happened to Mac Jones and what the Patriots did to him up there. So it's circumstantial, but these guys are all talented players.
Talking to Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl, totally understand why you won't rank them. I'm curious for Daniels if he reminds you of a past or even current quarterback.
Nope. Again, that's a big thing in the media to make the player comp thing in the NFL. I mean, that you don't do that a lot. Everything's got to line up. Everything has to line up. I mean, the only time you use player comps is when you're trying to paint a picture for your head coach and GM who probably haven't seen the player yet when you're in meetings. Those first round of meetings in December when the higher ups haven't seen these guys yet. But he's unique. He's really unique. I was in Tuscaloosa this year for that LSU game and watched him. He was unbelievable against that Nick Saban defense. I mean, he was slippery through the first and second level, and then he gets out in space, and the DBs at Alabama couldn't catch him. And then, whatever it was, a week or two later, he goes out against Florida, throw his first player ever to throw for 300 and run for 200 in a game, and that's in the SEC. He's really unique when it comes to his running ability. And his passing ability, I've seen a lot of Lamar Jackson comparisons, but Jaden's further along as a passer than Lamar was coming out. If that's the question, is he to remind you of Lamar? There was a lot of concerns about Lamar's passing ability coming out, and I don't think anybody has that question about Jaden.
I thought that first half in Tuscaloosa was one of the best performances by a quarterback. That night, I think we came in the next day, because remember, he got hurt late third quarter, but it was like, just hand him the Heisman. After that night, it was sensational. We're talking to Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl. What is your impression of what Washington got with their second round pick? They had three second round picks, but their first second round pick was Johnny Newton from Illinois.
Yeah, Johnny had a, you know, he's a good football player. He had a tough process. He was injured. He couldn't play in the Senior Bowl. He wasn't at the combine. He kind of had a late pro day. He was the guy that, you know, I liked him the more I watched him. When I first started watching him, like, I don't think he's a wow you athlete. He doesn't jump off the tape athletically. There's some ankle tightness and some things that way. Like Michael Hall from Ohio State jumps off the tape athletically. Johnny doesn't, but he grows on you the more you watch him because he is a really good football player. He's instinctive and he's incredibly strong at the point of attack, especially in his upper body. He can just throw guys. So where they got him, I thought was really good value. He'll have a role right away in that they'll have a nice little you know, rotation in there and keeping guys fresh. And yeah, he's ready to play, man. I mean, this guy's been a good player for a long time in Illinois. Had he been able to go through the full process and do everything, you know, he probably would have went in the first round.
Nick Saban said about Mike Sanristil when he was picked by Washington at number 50 overall in the second round that he might be the best pound for pound player in the draft. Is he wrong?
No. He's not. This is. I texted AP after he made the pick, and I told him, "You just picked my favorite player in the draft." Love Mikey Sanistrill. Again, going back to last spring, I'm not talking out of my butt here. I mean, you can search me on Twitter and see the stuff I was posting about Mikey Sanistrill last summer. Really good football player, man. Like, we had Troy Brown in New England when we were there. I don't know if Adam talked about that in his press conference, but like, we had one year where Troy had to go over to the defensive side of the ball and play slot and had in tied for our team lead with three interceptions. And I think he only played the month of December over there. So I feel like Mikey could play wide receiver for the Commanders if they needed him to do it. Like, I thought he was an NFL receiver when I went back and looked at all his early career cut-ups of his targets there at Michigan. I thought he was a guy that could play at both sides of the ball. Playmaker, tough, competitive, culture changer. I really thought that, Jim Harbaugh, when they traded up early in the second, took Ladd McConkey, I thought that might be Sanristrill there, just because I know all the people in the building at Michigan, what they think of this kid. That was a home run. I mean, he's a great player, and he's really a unique, really unique human being.
Didn't Troy Brown also in that AFC title game the first year they won the Super Bowl, didn't he return a punt for a touchdown too, I think?
Yeah,
I think he played offense, absolutely. Defense, and returned a punt for a score, I think.
Yeah, he did. No, Troy was a three-way player for us, and that's what Sanistrill could be too. I think he's going to be – I don't know how much they're going to want to play him in the kicking game, but he's just a football player. He'll be really good at it. If they want to use him in all three phases, he'll be great.
What did you think of Ben Sinnott, the tight end from K-State?
Loved him. One of my favorite dudes we had in the Senior Bowl this year. I actually flew out. One of our sponsors is a sports bistro called Walk-Ons. They're our practice sponsor. So part of our partnership is flying around the country with their founder, giving out some of these, giving out invites to Walk-On, former Walk-On players. So we went to Manhattan, Kansas to give Ben his invite. So we've got a cool connection that way. I love the player, man. You know, he's not like your prototype 6'5", 260, pound guy that can play on the end of line of scrimmage, but he's got a ton of fight and scrap in him. So he can do that. But he's more of a move player. You know, he can play in the slot. You can play him at fullback, super athletic on tape. And then he goes to the combine and jumps 40 inches and does all that too. But the most importantly, he's athletic on tape. And he was Kansas State's offense. Let's make no mistake about it. Like, there was nobody on the outside drawing coverage away from him. I mean, you're playing Kansas State, you can talk to opposing defensive coordinators. You play Kansas State, you got to stop Ben Sinnott. And so to have the production he had at that position, his quarterback, Will Howard, is his best friend. And he did a really good job getting him the football. But this dude is I'm a broken record. I think it speaks to what AP and DQ are doing up there and the type of guys they're trying to add to the program. But when you're talking about Mikey Sanistrills and Ben Sennett, I mean, these guys are culture changers.
Do you like, by the way, just out of curiosity, changing subjects, do you like Will Howard in Columbus next year?
Yeah, I do. Actually tried to – we had – what happened with one of our quarterbacks? We had a quarterback fallout late. It was maybe when I realized we weren't going to get Jaden Daniels. I circled back to – to call Will Howard and give him the invite. He was like, Jim, I am on a plane to Columbus right now. And so that was a bummer. We would have had him in this year's game. Yeah, I think if Will would have come out this year, I thought he'd go in the fourth or fifth round.
Talking to Jim Nagy. Jim is the executive director of the Senior Bowl. This is great. He is talking about Washington's draft, obviously. So they drafted a TCU guard, Brandon Coleman, that they're projecting to play tackle. Do you see that?
Yeah, he could play out there. I thought he was more of a guard myself, but I love Brandon. I put something out on social media about him the week before the draft. To me, I felt like he was flying under way too many radars. You weren't hearing a lot of buzz about Brandon Coleman, at least in the media. And I'm just a big believer in the dude. We're talking, and this is another guy. I went to a TCU practice in August, an 8 a.m. practice. They get out on the practice field. The offensive line coach completely jumps the offensive line group. Somebody showed up late for a morning lift or something. He was not in a good mood. And then something happened in the course of practice, and Brandon wasn't happy with the effort of the group, and he called them all up, and then he ripped their butts. You don't see that a lot. I'm telling you, like you can be on the road for 4 months as a college scout. You don't see players rip into their teammates like that and hold their teammates accountable, which to me, you need to have guys like that. He's big, he's strong, he's long, he's got incredibly strong mitts. Like when this guy gets his hands on you, it's over. So if they're planning on playing him at tackle, he's played a lot out there. There's no question. I just saw the better fit at guard, but man, I love the person, love the player. I sound like a broken record, but again, I texted AP after the second night. I told him you're taking a bunch of dudes that I love. So again, I'm not just saying this because I'm on the air.
They took a bunch of
my favorite players.
We didn't mention the last one that I'm going to mention to you, just because he's certainly got a brother in the league that's pretty damn good. What did you make of Luke McCaffrey, their final pick in the third round?
Yeah, another one I loved. He was a guy that was – I saw him on that same Texas swing that I saw Brandon Coleman. I was kind of okay with his junior stuff when we watched him over the summer as a first-year wide receiver transitioning from quarterback. And then you got into this season again, he was the Rice offense. He was the Rice offense. I mean, yeah. Everything went through Luke. He made a huge jump on this year's tape. And again, I put out a long thread on Luke. Probably sometime during the draft process and why I liked him so much. So it's like six or seven videos. I thought he was the toughest receiver in the draft, which is crazy to say for a guy that played quarterback. Usually they're not, you don't think they're the toughest dudes, but I thought he's the toughest receiver in the draft. And going back, there was a lot of talk through this process, like who's this year's Puka Nacua, who we had in the Senior Bowl last year. And again, I don't like to do that to people, but if there is someone that I think has some Puka-like qualities, because a lot of Puka's game was subtleties, just like subtle ability to get open, sneaky after the catch, like not really a wow factor to him, like explosive wise. But, and I think and to me, Luke was that guy. Like he's the guy that I think his best football is ahead of him, because you look at the massive jump he made this year. He had a great week down here in Mobile. He goes to the combine and blows it away. I mean, the shuttle stuff was absurd. I think he's a guy that can contribute right away. I think he's going to end up being a starter level player in the league. And that's just another guy coming from that family too. Like I don't bring up Christian when I talk about him. I want Luke to stand, be talked about for being Luke McCaffrey and not part of the family. But obviously the guy's grown up around it, and he's going to transition quickly because he knows what the league's all about. He's super smart, super mature. So again, there at the 100th pick, I thought that was I thought they nailed it.
So overall, as you sat back and watched, how you clearly think Washington did very well relative to the rest of the league. How well did they do?
Yeah, I thought they had one of the I hate draft grades. I posted something this morning. I just can't stand that stuff.
Why is it that you don't like it?
Because it's ridiculous. I mean, these guys haven't played it down yet. Like, let's do this exercise 3 years from now, and see how they do. Because then you have to factor in how the team developed them too. So then that to me puts more in the stock in the grade on how the team actually did. They're not just drafting; you got to develop them too. So, but comparatively, yeah, I thought they had one of the best drafts. I thought they did a great job. I thought Green Bay did a great job. I thought Pittsburgh did a great job. So I thought a lot of teams did. You're not seeing a lot of teams like go there's only a couple teams in my opinion that kind of go rogue and I question what they're doing. And But the league and all, I think they're doing a better job. But yeah, I thought Washington had one of the better drafts.
You know, somebody else pointed that out to me last week, and I'm forgetting who it was who we had on the show, but said that there's much more consensus now on sort of value. Like the number of reaches where you're drafting a player that nobody had going in the, you know, second round and somebody's taking him in the second round, that there's much more agreement on, for the lack of a better description, sort of the pre-draft mocks.
Yeah, I just think the teams are doing a much better job than ever of the whole process. I mean, I'll say this, like one year I left New England to go to Kansas City. And it was, you know, I went there with Scott Pioli. We were going over there to, you know, take care of that draft and be a part of things. And I remember, I forget who it was, but there was a player from Oregon that year. That was a first round draft pick. And when we got there in their system, they only had one player right up they only had one report in the system on a guy that ended up going in the first round. I mean, nowadays that would never happen. Now, if you got a guy that talented and a great, and this was 2009, so like 15 years ago, that player would have five or six grades in the system, you know, by the time the coaches got involved. And then you would have the coordinator and the position coach and the head coach. So, I mean, when these guys get drafted, you've got 9 or 10 sets of eyeballs that have evaled these guys. So the league has just done a much better job of being thorough, and everybody's processes are better.
All right, you've pretty much already said this, but I'll let you wrap it up with just how you feel about Washington as an NFL organization today versus, you know, a year ago when Snyder still owned it.
Yeah, in night and day. No, I posted something recently when they hired Dave Gardy. That just shows that, like, this organization is thinking outside the box. They're bringing in good people. That was a smart move. Those things didn't happen before, so... They're doing a really good job. Again, I've worked with both those guys, so I'm a little biased. Consider AP and DQ, both those guys I consider friends. And for their first draft, it felt like they were in lockstep in terms of targeting the players that fit them, right? And again, that's AP's kind of been at the foot of John Lynch for a while now, and you know, he's never run this thing. So I thought, you know, sometimes when you're on the clock, it's different, you know, and, right. and your name's going to be on the pick. It carries a little different weight. But I thought he did a great job, you know, kind of moving around or staying put when he needed to stay put and being patient and trusting the board. Thought they did a great job.
All right. So I won't leave it with Jim Nagy gives Washington an A+ for the draft. I'm kidding. I think it's ridiculous too. I spent the first 15 minutes of the show talking about how ridiculous these grades are. But in 3 years, hopefully we look back and say it was the foundation draft for a winner. It may have been. We'll see. Really appreciate the time, and I really enjoyed it. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Kevin.
Yep. Jim Nagy, everybody, the executive director of the Senior Bowl on X on Twitter at Jim Nagy, Nagy _SB. And he was here with the John Schneider, Marty Schottenheimer 2001 team as a scout, a very young scout at that time, but was 18 years an NFL scout with 4 Super Bowl winners. All right, good stuff from him. Brett Bielema. Always been one of my favorite college football coaches. Coaches Illinois, you'll hear what he told Denton on Saturday about the drafting of Johnny Newton in the second round next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So Brett Bielema is the head coach at Illinois. Johnny Newton, Washington's number 36 overall pick, their first pick in the second round. That's who they took. They were excited that he was there. They were actually, you know, one of the quotes from that we played earlier or at the end of last hour, Denton, about Newton was that they considered trading up. Did you see that? We were looking at moving up to get him, is what Adam Peters said. So that would have been, look, the reaction when they selected a defensive tackle in the moment the other night wasn't overwhelming joy, especially for people that don't watch college football and they're just thinking, well, you got to get an offensive lineman, right? Can you imagine if they had traded up to 33 and taken Johnny Newton? I love the pick. I love the player. I think inside disruptors, and he is a physical, strong dude that collapses the pocket, at least at the college level. Adam Peters said on Friday night, we couldn't believe he was there. We were getting nervous that he wouldn't make it to 36, and we looked at moving up to get him. Anyway, his college coach, Brett Bielema. Brett, as many of you probably remember, coached for many years at Wisconsin, then took his show to Arkansas in the SEC, didn't do as well, and he's back in the Big Ten for the last 3 years at Illinois. Denton had him on the Saturday show, and this was Brett Bielema talking about Johnny Newton.
Yeah, been in this league for a while, and actually was in the NFL for three. So I think, any of these draft days, anything can happen. I was surprised that he was still there, but I knew he'd get off the board pretty quick. And excited for him to go to another place that I think he's excited to have him.
So what was your reaction when you found out he was coming to Washington? I will tell you, Coach, we were doing some coverage yesterday, and we were ready to do backflips in the studio when we found out he was coming here.
Yeah, he's a very exciting player, a guy, too, that I think is just scratching the surface of what he can be. He's in tremendous power, very athletic guy for the size he is. I think, the other thing, too, because of the foot injury, he wasn't able to run a 40, but my strength coach, who's been pretty spot on ever since we've been together, thought he would break, a low 4.7 40 if he had run at the combine. So a guy that not only can beat that guard, beat that tackle, but he also can run down that quarterback and running back as well.
Talk to me a little bit about his season this year in 2023. He wins Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and we know that conference is stacked with great defensive guys. Where did you see him take a step forward this year?
Even going back to last year, we've been together. It's our third year this past season, and that jump from year one to year two was pretty remarkable, and actually probably could have been a two-time Defense Player of the Year. He was pretty dominant a year ago as well. I thought the things that he did early downs, like everybody wants to feel a pass rusher on third down, but he's a very productive, one of the most productive in college football in the last 2 years on early down pass rush, and a very effective run blocker, a run defender as well. And, the greatest thing about Johnny, he's a tremendous football IQ and awareness. He gets smarter during the game by watching how someone's trying to defend him, right? How they're going to set on him, how they're going to block him. Does a really nice job of forecasting his pass rushes before they're in front of him. He's just a really, really heady football player and a guy that you guys will really enjoy.
Talking with Illinois head coach Brett Bielema here, coached Johnny Newton for a couple of years with the Fighting Illini. What was your first conversation with him like after he got the word that he was coming to Washington?
It was pretty awesome. We obviously had set up the night before, and would kind of waited for that moment. I'd actually heard from, you know, three or four teams that were picking right around there, right before, right after, and didn't know where it was going to land. And then when he got that final call, just to see that excitement, I think been doing this for 16 years, you know, and to see the joy. A year ago, you guys got another great second runner last year in Quan Martin, who was another guy in our program that's just a special story. Besides the football player, they're just really good human beings, great families, and they represent us in the right way.
You know, Coach, I'm glad you brought up Quan Martin. I was just about to ask about him. How cool is it for you as a head coach knowing that you now have two guys, not just playing in the NFL, but they get to reunite as teammates here in D.C.?
It's awesome. And for me, the lineage I've had, Cameron Curl, actually, I recruited and played for me at Arkansas as well. So last year for him and Quan to be together, I connected them right away. Had a couple guys go to the Cardinals later in the night last night, and they connected with one of my former offensive linemen. That's there already, and just awesome. He didn't play when I was here, but Nick Allegretti coming your way as well as an offensive lineman. You're getting some really quality high people that I think can help build something around there that can be special for years to come.
So, Coach, I want to go back to when you first met Johnny Newton. He was there at Illinois before you got there, and in today's era of college football, it's not infrequent for when a new coach comes in for guys to go in their different directions. Do you remember what your first conversation with him was like, and how did you get him to stay at Illinois when you took over?
Yeah, absolutely. We came in, and, you know, I really tried to anytime I've come into a new organization, I try not to watch film of the past. I want to build my own visual and memories of what they are. And so I've met with every kid on our team, and Johnny, that was kind of the year it was coming out of COVID. So yes, the portal thing was starting to happen, but it wasn't really big yet. And then he just exploded onto the scene. I think Terrence Jamison, our defensive line coach, did a tremendous job with him. And I've coached D-line in the NFL, so he knew he was going to get some good tutelage. And then really a year ago when we were talking to him, that was the big decision, I think, was whether or not he goes out in last year's draft and maybe be a third, fourth, fifth rounder, or come back and make a run for a one on his jersey. And unfortunately, didn't make that all the way come true, but he had a great year. He's incredibly competitive. You know, one of the things that, you know, growing up in that home with his brothers, he had two older brothers that, well, three older brothers that play college football, and he's got a little brother that we'd love to have play for us. It just come from a really strong football family and very competitive environment, and he carries it to the practice field every day.
So, Coach, I'll get you out of here with this. He's going to play alongside Daron Payne and John Allen in the core of that defense. What kind of player is Washington getting with Johnny Newton from day one?
You know, I think in that league especially, the matchups he'll create against guards and tackles, and I would say the early down pass rush, right? Like, there's always a certain value for that third down pass rusher. But if you get, you know, obviously the most downs played in football are early downs. Almost 75% of the game is first and second down. And he's a very productive early down pass rusher. Just those guys with short pass sets, they can't get those deep kicks, and he can get off the line of scrimmage. And then his speed takes over, right? Today's quarterbacks that can run so much better than they were 10, 15 years ago, this guy can run a guy down. And that's truly what separates him.
Coach, really appreciate the time. I know you're incredibly busy this week, and congratulations once again, and best of luck this upcoming football season.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it very much.
That was Denton on Saturday with Illinois coach Brett Bielema talking about Johnny Newton. I thought he said something that is so obvious, but I've never heard people say it this way. In talking about Johnny on first and second down, remember, there are a lot more first and second downs than the other. Yes, there are. There are a lot more first downs than any other down, followed by second down, and then third, and then finally fourth down. Excellent coach. That's interior pressure is something that he certainly was able to generate at the college level in his Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year season. Kind of interesting. He was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and Mikey Sanristil was a national champion and perhaps the heart and soul of Michigan's defense, which was a dominant defense all season long. All right, we'll come back. Denton's got some news. We'll touch on some other things, including the end of the cap season. Nats had a great weekend and some NBA playoffs. Other NFL news as well. We'll do that next. Ben Standing will join us at noon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton. There's a lot we have not talked about after a long weekend of sports. What do you got?
Well, we might as well start with the Caps. They get swept last night, lose to the Rangers 4-2. Not a good series from Ovechkin. Well, not a good series from anybody. They got swept. And that ends the Capitals season. Kind of a very bad end to what was a fun close to the regular season.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, there was nobody really thought they had much of a chance. But with the way Charlie Lindgren had been playing it, he did not play poorly in this series. He was not the issue. The issue was they scored 7 goals in 4 games. They couldn't generate anywhere near enough offense. They gave up an early goal last night on a terrible turnover in their own zone. Then I thought Oshie took a really bad penalty at 2-2 that put the Rangers on the power play. And that's all she wrote. They're the only team here in the first round to get swept. I think it's the first time they've been swept since 2011. I think it was. I think, did Tampa sweep them? I could be wrong on the team.
Yeah, 2011.
Yeah, and they're out. But I know a lot of the Caps people, those of you that really follow the team closely, some of our, you know, insiders that jump on with us every once in a while, believe that this was a really good thing for this team to play the way it did down the stretch, to make the postseason, that they've got a lot of good young players to build around. And you just wonder how much of that experienced, you know, veteran group will come back. I mean, I think TJ Oshie, there's a chance that may be it for him. Of course, we're going to see Ovechkin back. The man had 31 goals on the season, and he's chasing down Gretzky. He's not going anywhere. But, you know, if this was the year one of maybe another big, you know, run of making the postseason every year, and maybe one of those years being a legitimate contender, we'll see. But they were outmatched. I mean, I don't know much about the sport, but in watching the Rangers, they were unbelievable every time they were on the power play in this series. What were they overall in the power play in this series?
I don't have those numbers, but the Caps were bad and the Rangers were not.
That's great analysis, Denton. Yeah. Appreciate that. I think the I think after that first period in game one, where I think there were 6 total power play opportunities, The rest of the way, special teams, power play, and even the shorthanded goal that the Rangers got in game two were so crucial. Like last night, two more power play goals for the Rangers, and the one in the third period in a 2-2 game on the Oshie penalty. That was unfortunate because that was not a super smart play. You couldn't put yourself into that position. And then the Caps had an opportunity down 3-2. They got onto the power play, and I don't know that they generated even one shot on goal on that power play. I watched last night's game start to finish. I was hoping maybe for at least one more game, get it back to New York down 3-1. But no, seven total goals, four games, not good enough. The Caps season is over. All right, what else?
Yeah, all the offense the Capitals lost, I found it when I watched the Nationals. They beat the Marlins 12-9. At one point yesterday, Kevin, they were down 7-0, and then they overcame that. They're 13-14 on the year, and this Nick Senzel kid is absolutely raking, as the kids say. He is like the
five
new
RBIs
Kyle Schwarber.
Yesterday, two home runs.
He's on an absolute tear. His bat is on fire.
But yes, I mean, Patrick Corbin, my God. I mean, he gave up. Look, it wasn't all on him. There were a couple of errors in there. C.J. Abrams had an error. But Corbin's ERA, 6.82, eight hits, seven runs, four of them earned, two walks in four innings. It just is rough for him, it seems like, every time out. They were down 7-0, as Denton said, after two innings, came back to win the game 12-9. The Marlins are the worst team in baseball record-wise. They're 6-23 right now. And the Nats kind of bounce back. They've had a very good start to this season. You know, even in games that they haven't won, including getting swept by the Dodgers, you know, mid-portion of last week, two of those three games were pretty damn competitive games. And they had won prior to that. I think it was 4 out of 5 series. So now it would be 5 out of 7, I believe, and they are a game under 500. Problem with Washington, and even if they are an overperforming team this year, and let's just say they push 75, you know, wins, somewhere around that neighborhood. Atlanta, Philly at the top. I mean, maybe the two best teams in the National League. Certainly two of the best three teams in the National League, if you want to include the Dodgers. But good weekend for the Nats. They have one more with Miami tonight to try to complete a four-game sweep. And then they are off to Texas to face the Rangers. All right, what else?
How about the NBA playoffs? Really just yesterday, it was a slew of great games yesterday. Knicks, Sixers, the Clippers overcoming no Kawhi. But really, it seemed like a passing of the torch on the final game. Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves sweep the Phoenix Suns. Anthony Edwards is the most fun guy to watch in the NBA, maybe other than Jokic. I mean, Jokic is still up there, but Ant Edwards is an absolute joy watching play basketball.
Yeah, now, can they beat, would they be able to beat Denver in the next round? I don't see that happening personally, but the Timberwolves are so much fun to watch. First of all, they are exceptionally well coached. It is an outstanding defensive team. They swept the Phoenix Suns. For those of you that don't know what that means, the Phoenix Suns have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. Remember that trade? I mean, the Wizards traded them a year too late. They still got back, a bunch of picks for Phoenix. Phoenix basically doesn't have a draft choice until next century at this point. But Bradley Beal was horrible last night. He was so bad in the game, and he's played well. Let me just make sure people are clear on this. If you've watched Beal with Phoenix coming down the stretch in the regular season, he had some really, really good games. But the big problem with Phoenix in watching them is they don't have any kind of idea on what to do. They don't have a point guard. Devin Booker was kind of the point guard last year. Booker, by the way, had 49 in the game last night. They finally were able to score Booker and Durant combined for 82 points. Bradley Beal had 6 turnovers in the game. I've said this about him throughout his entire career, and it was always, for me, one of the big reasons that I was always hesitant to say this guy is, you know, he's got the potential to become, you know, a top 10, top 15 player. I never felt like he was. At one point, you could put him somewhere 15 to 20, I guess. But he is just, at times, an oblivious ball handler and passer. Just seems to be completely unaware of his surroundings. He had 6 turnovers in the game last night himself and had 9 points on 4 of 13 shooting. He was horrendous in the game. And Minnesota and Ant Edwards, he had 40. He was 7 of 13 from behind the 3-point line. Denton, what did we – last year at this time, what would you have said about Edwards? What does he need to improve on?
I would have said he needs to improve on shooting and dribbling.
Shooting. And he has become an excellent shooter. He is a true alpha. I mean, I love Mike Conley on this team. Defensively, they are really, really outstanding. But Edwards, if you haven't seen Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, going to be part of a group that will be, you know, the next wave of massive stars. And the Timberwolves are going to have a chance to compete. They'll get Denver in this next round in a 2-3 matchup. Tonight you get Lakers-Nuggets back in Denver after the Lakers won Game 4 with LeBron playing very well. He's actually played exceptionally well in this series. But the Nuggets probably put it away tonight, and then you'll get a Nuggets-Timberwolves series. But, you know, Kevin Durant, he's one of the greatest scorers that's ever lived. He was so significant in Golden State's 2 titles that he won when he was there. And then I think Kevin Durant, who's always... I love him as a player. I think what he did in Brooklyn that one playoff year where he went against Milwaukee for like 45, 47, and 49 in like the last 3 games, and that toe on the line is probably the difference between him having taken Brooklyn to the NBA Finals versus not. But man, he wanted out of Golden State. He wanted to prove that he could do it where he was the clear-cut, you know, alpha. In so many ways, he was that, even with Steph and Clay for those 2 years. He just hasn't been able to do it. I mean, and this Phoenix thing is a disaster, complete disaster. Elsewhere yesterday, let me just tell you, Josh Harris's NBA team, their fan base, they are not fond of Josh Harris. There is no doubt he is not a popular 76ers owner. Doesn't mean he's not going to be that here. It's just that, I mean, I think we understand he's a D.C. guy, and this is going to be his baby, you know, the football team. But the Knicks fans, you know, basically took over Wells Fargo, and Brunson went for 47, and Embiid complained about the officiating, and he complained about the fans not being there and that too many New York fans were in the crowd. And they're down 3-1. I actually, in watching these games, I kind of feel like the 76ers are the better team, but they're down 3-1. And then real quickly, because I did watch Clippers-Mavericks, you know who's become my least favorite star player in the NBA?
Luka.
I can't stand Luka.
His body language is so bad.
He annoys me so much, and I'm not going to tell you that he's not a great player. He is. And the basketball part of him is fun to watch. He may be the biggest whiner in the NBA. The constant whining and complaining and acting, it's just too much. And then I found myself last night, probably like some of you, who are like, God, enough of Kyrie Irving. I mean, enough with just sabotaging one situation after another. But if you can separate the art from the artist, he's one of the greatest players that's ever lived. He's one of the greatest ball handlers ever. One of the greatest shot makers ever. Him going back and forth with Harden down the stretch yesterday, yeah, it was a lot of iso ball, a lot of two-man, a lot of, you know, get the switch and attack the guy that you want to attack. But the two of them going back and forth making shots was really pretty spectacular. And real quickly, Russell Westbrook just can't play anymore. He is energetic, And he'll do, for every, you know, good thing he does, and he'll do a good thing or two during the course of a game, there are four things that he does that you're just like, oh my God. There was a stretch in the second half, Dent, and I texted Legler about this. I said, I don't think Westbrook's hit the rim on, and like not even grazed the rim on any of his shots, but it will not deter him because he actually thinks he's a good shooter. And that's what Legler said. He said he does think he's a good shooter. Somebody's got to tell him, stop shooting. He missed a driving layup in which the ball got thrown so hard against the backboard, it didn't hit the rim. I don't get it. He used to be one of my favorite athletes because of just how hard he tries, but he's done. But big win for the Clippers without Kawhi. If you saw him in game three, he can't walk, basically. I don't think he's coming back. Is he?
He shouldn't.
He's got major knee inflammation. I mean, this guy just can't stay healthy for a season. They didn't load manage with him this year. They thought, let's try it this way, and that hasn't worked either. So, anyway, do you feel the same way about Luka that I do?
I'm starting to. If you would have told me this time a year ago that the most annoying guy on the Mavericks would be Luka and not Kyrie, I would have thought Kyrie was traded. But I love watching. Like, Kyrie's been great this entire year. Because he's still doing, you know, off-the-court things, because that's just kind of what he is. Like, he's a humanitarian. He's just not being as loud and obnoxious about it. He's not really on social media as much. So you're getting to enjoy the basketball stuff while he's getting to do the other stuff. It's like literally the perfect combination. I hope he stays with us for the remainder of either his time in Dallas or his career, because you're seeing the best of him. I think he's great.
He's a brilliant basketball player. Brilliant basketball player and shot maker. I mean, the problem, of course, is during the course of his career, whether it was in, you know, post-Cleveland, post, you know, winning it with LeBron, whether it was Boston or Brooklyn, is that he was, you know, he sabotaged these situations. He was borderline insubordinate at times. And, you know, even James Harden couldn't take it anymore and said, get me away from him. But in Dallas so far and recently, there's no mistaking this guy's one of the greatest ball handlers and shot makers in the history of the game. He's that great. But by the way, in this game, the Clippers had a 31-point first half lead and blew it. I mean, Dallas was up by one, and I thought there's no chance that they can recover from this. But it was all Harden and a little bit of Paul George down the stretch. Harden shot making down the stretch. He had six floaters in the lane in the fourth quarter. Six. He was great. All right, Ben Standing next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.